Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, November 24th, 2021. Coming up this hour.
Another country joins the coordinated effort to tap strategic oil reserves.
A warning that COVID deaths in Europe will reach more than 2 million by March.
Elon Musk dumps more Tesla stock.
And shares of Nordstrom and Gap plunge on supply chain issues.
A sixth person has died from the parade disaster in Wisconsin. Plus, jury deliberations continue in the trial of three white men charged with killing Ahmaud Arbery. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. The Knicks beat the Lakers. The Jets go back to their starting quarterback. And the Giants make a change on the coaching staff.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak, being brought to you by SEI. Crises and challenges highlight the power of partnership and character. Work for the common good. One community, SEI. Go to seic.com/banks.
And U.S. futures are moving lower on this Wednesday morning. It is 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 15 points. Dow futures down 145. NASDAQ futures down 46. The 10-year Treasury is up 7/30 seconds. The yield 1.64%. John?
And Nathan, we're also following the price of oil this morning. Brent crude this morning is down 22 cents a barrel at 82.15. NYMEX crude down 11 cents at 78.39 a barrel. And traders are weighing the effect of strategic reserves being released across the world. Now another country is joining the effort. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, John. Japan says it'll release oil from its reserves as part of the global effort to rein in prices. Now, while officials did not give a specific amount, Japanese media says the country will release about 4.2 million barrels. For perspective, Japan uses about 3.3 million barrels of oil a day. Meantime, the U.S. release of 50 million barrels is weighing on prices, and it may make U.S. oil more attractive to Asian consumers than local OPEC crude. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Well, meantime, reaction continues to pour into the U.S. decision to release reserves. Texas Republican Congressman Kevin Brady opposes the move.
That petroleum reserve is there for a reason. It is to be an economic security in case there's an interruption in oil and gas supplies, not a political pool of money, slush fund, in effect, to be able to use to temporarily lower prices, especially when the president has been the one driving these prices up.
Congressman Kevin Brady calls the move politically motivated, and the relief at the pump will only be temporary. That's according to Canary Drilling Services CEO Dan Eberhardt.
This will knock about 10 cents a gallon off the price of gas, but I think it's just a short-term sugar high. And it won't really be that helpful. In the scheme of a year, it's really not going to be that helpful. At a time when China is building a strategic petroleum reserve, we are letting ours go for short-term political gains. To me, is the wrong move and short-sighted.
Canary CEO Dan Eberhardt and Congressman Kevin Brady spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
And let's turn to the pandemic now. COVID cases continue to surge in Europe, and that's prompting a dire warning from the World Health Organization. Let's go live to London now, get the latest with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Ewan.
Good morning, John and Nathan. COVID deaths in Europe will reach 2.2 million by March of next year if current trends continue. That's the warning from the World Health Organization. The outbreak has accelerated in recent weeks as colder temperatures lead to more indoor socializing, with COVID once again the leading cause of death. The WHO is calling on countries to vaccinate more to avoid further lockdowns. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thanks. Europe is also seeing a supply crunch on the continent getting worse, but here in the U.S., it's looking better. There are signs that supply issues could be easing stateside. Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo joins us with details. Lisa.
Nathan and John, according to the latest readings on Bloomberg Economics' new set of supply indicators, the U.S. measure shows that supply shortages peaked in the summer and have been trending modestly lower since then. If the trend continues into 2022, sticker shock for consumers should begin to fade. However, not all components of the U.S. gauge are improving. Supply constraints in the services sector continue to worsen, and the shortage of workers doesn't appear to be easing. Lisa Mateo, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Lisa, for the markets this morning, shaping up to be a busy day for economic data. The government issues revised data on third quarter GDP. We could be in store for a bullish reading. More from Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
Bloomberg Economics' data on construction spending, inventories, and trade suggest a slightly more favorable figure on third quarter economic growth, initially pegged at 2%. That said, there's no way it could come close to the second quarter, 6.7%, but it could pick up this quarter. Also on today's busy agenda, Federal Reserve meeting minutes, jobless claims and consumer spending, among others, ahead of Thanksgiving. Jobless claims should keep falling. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. In corporate news this morning, Elon Musk is hitting the sell button again. The CEO has sold another round of Tesla shares. Musk is now more than halfway to making good on a promise to offload 10% of his stake in the company. He sold nearly $10 billion in stock. A chunk of that money will go to taxes.
And shares of HP up 7.5% in early trading. The company reporting earnings that beat estimates. Let's get details now from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
It was helped by a better supply of components to meet rising corporate demand for its personal computers. Revenue gained 9% to $16.7 billion in the fourth quarter. While the company is getting a boost from higher demand, HP has struggled to fill all its orders because of shortages of some types of chips. In New York, Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Shares of Dell also higher, up almost 3% in early trading after the company posted revenue that topped estimates. Results were powered by corporate and consumer spending on personal computers, which both reached company records in the quarter.
And on the flip side, Nathan, a couple of retailers getting slammed in early trading. Gap and Nordstrom tumbling after reporting disappointing results. It's adding to a series of poor retail earnings and renewing concerns over the global supply chain crisis. Shares of Nordstrom down 24%. Gap was down 17%. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, the Dow futures right now down 121. S&P futures down 13. The NASDAQ futures 41 points lower. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Yeah, it's now 5:07 on Wall Street. And let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. An 8-year-old boy has become the sixth person to die after the driver of an SUV plowed into a Christmas parade Sunday in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Yesterday, a judge set a $5 million cash bail for 39-year-old Daryl Brooks, who was charged with five counts of first-degree intentional homicide. District Attorney Sue Opper.
He was told to stop by police officers. They risked their own safety to try and step in front of the car to stop him. Everything was done to get him to stop, and he just simply continued down the roadway, causing death and destruction in his path.
DA Sue Hopper says a sixth homicide count will be added later against Brooks. A jury in Georgia will deliberate for a second day in the trial of three white men accused of killing Ahmaud Arbery, who was black. Late yesterday, they told the judge they're close to deciding verdicts. A jury has ordered 17 white nationalist leaders and organizations to pay $26 million in damages over violence that erupted during the deadly 2017 Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville. NASA has launched its first planetary defense test mission overnight, a small spacecraft that will ram into an asteroid and knock it off course. It's a test run to try out technologies that could save the Earth from a potentially catastrophic event. The DART spacecraft, short for Double Asteroid Redirection Test, lifted off from Vandenberg Space Force atop a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket. Kelly Fast is with NASA's Planetary Defense Coordination Office.
It's the only natural disaster that we could prevent, an asteroid impact. And so why not use your capabilities to look, you know, to the extent that you can, rack those up and then do something like darts that you've got a tool in the toolbox.
NASA's Kelly Fast says if all goes well in September 2022, the spacecraft will slam head-on into the asteroid at 15,000 miles per hour. New York Governor Kathy Hochul indicated a vaccine mandate was unlikely for MTA workers after New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio called for one similar to what's required for all city employees. De Blasio has been pushing for vaccinations as the city and state confront a rise in COVID-19 cases. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. It's now 5:10 on Wall Street, and it's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stasio.
All right, good morning, John. The Knicks certainly got a big break. Lakers without the suspended LeBron James, and the Knicks at the Garden took advantage early on. Went up by 25, but they have struggled all year to play complete games, and sure enough, the Lakers wiped out the entire deficit, but never took the lead. The Knicks able to pull it out, 106-100. Evan Fournier had his best game since the season opener. 26 points. He made six threes. Russell Westbrook, big night for the Lakers. Triple-double. He scored 18 of his 31 in the third quarter. First place Nets, winners of 11 of the last 13, play tonight in Boston. Rangers and Islanders in the third game ever at the UBS Arena. The Islanders looking for their first win at their new home. Shake up on the Giants coaching staff. Offensive coordinator Jason Garrett relieved of his duties by head coach Joe Judge.
Hopefully I'll make every decision based on what's best for the team long term. I feel we'd be more productive as an offense. Generally speaking, the offensive job is to score points. I don't believe we're scoring enough points. And it's my job as the head coach to make sure I give our players an opportunity to go out there and make plays.
Judge did not say who will now call the plays. It's expected to be Freddie Kitchens, one-time head coach in Cleveland. Daniel Jones's lack of improvement, clearly one reason for the departure of Garrett. As for the Jets QB, it'll be rookie Zach Wilson Sunday in Houston, back after missing a month with a knee injury. Jets used three QBs in his absence, but Mike White just tested positive for COVID, and the unvaccinated Joe Flacco a close contact. So Josh Johnson will likely be Wilson's backup. Bill Verdon has died at the age of 90, former Cardinals and Pirates outfielder. Verdon managed the Yankees for a year and a half in the mid-1970s. John Stanshaw, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, John, ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures are negative right now. Dow futures down 135 points. The S&P E-mini futures 14 points lower. The NASDAQ futures right now 40 points lower. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the day before Thanksgiving, we're going to stuff the bird with gobs of economic data. Michael Hewson, the chief market analyst at CMC Markets, will set the table for the trading day ahead. This is Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Treasuries are rising as traders temper expectations for monetary policy tightening, and we're keeping an eye on oil prices this morning as producers and major consuming nations head for a confrontation. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 10 points, Dow futures down 98, NASDAQ futures down 26, the 10-year Treasury up 6/32, the yield 1.64%. NYMEX crude, little change now at 4 cents at 78.54 a barrel, while Brent is up a penny at 82.32. COMEX gold up 0.3% or $5.60 at 17.92 even an ounce. The euro 1.1210 against the dollar, the yen at 115.04. This day before Thanksgiving, we have a feast of economic data starting at 7 this morning with MBA mortgage applications. At 8:30, we get jobless claims, inventories, revised GDP numbers, and durable goods orders. At 10, it's personal income and spending, the PCE deflator, new home sales. We get the minutes from the latest Federal Reserve meeting at 2 o'clock this afternoon. On top of all that, we'll be watching for earnings from Deere this morning. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Millions of Americans are loading up their cars or piling onto planes for Thanksgiving holiday travel. The number of air passengers this week is expected to approach or even exceed pre-pandemic levels. Meanwhile, cities across the nation, including New York, are inflating balloons for Thanksgiving Day parades tomorrow. NASA has launched a spacecraft on a mission to smash into an asteroid and test whether it would be possible to knock a speeding space rock off course if one were to threaten Earth. If all goes well, in September of 2022, it will slam head-on into the Dimorphos asteroid at 15,000 miles per hour. In the NBA, the Knicks beat the Lakers 106-100. LeBron James wasn't on the court, serving a suspension. In the NFL, the New York Giants fire defensive coordinator Jason Garrett. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 520 on Wall Street, and we're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. The U.S. has announced a coordinated release of strategic oil reserves with other countries, all in effort to tame prices. And to walk us through the move, we're joined now by Will Kennedy, Bloomberg News Executive Editor for Commodities. Will, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it. So the first question, why aren't prices even lower, Will?
Well, we had a bit of a bounce in prices yesterday. I think there were a few reasons for that. One, this move had been widely expected. It had been trailed for a couple of weeks, and I think it was to some extent a classic case of you sell the rumor and then buy the fact once it's happened. The second reason is that a lot of the numbers were relatively modest. The 50 million barrels from the U.S. reserve was quite substantial, but the contributions from American allies like Japan, South Korea, and India were relatively modest. And then the third reason, if we go back to the U.S., the way the deal was structured partly is an exchange whereby refiners can take the oil, but they have to put it back into the reserve at a later date. And the quality of the oil may give traders some idea that the release is not quite as impactful as it might have been. So you put those together, and we got a bit of a bounce yesterday. But I think it's worth noting that oil remains still some way off the highs that we saw in early October.
When you say
late October,
parenthetically, when you say that the quality of the oil, I just want to point out to folks who don't know it. If you go to Boil Go on the B-O-I-L Go on the Bloomberg Terminal, there are about 20 grades of oil produced in the U.S., including the Cushing, Midland, et cetera, so forth. So we're talking about a grade that necessarily is more difficult to refine or what?
Yeah, it's a grade that has quite a lot. The grades have quite a lot of sulfur in them, which make them more expensive and energy intensive to refine, and yield perhaps a little less gasoline than other grades. So, if you're looking to easily refine oil to make lots of gasoline, not necessarily the right grades. It doesn't mean it can't be done. It's just that they're a little bit more expensive and hard to process.
Now, even if that oil price is lowered, it still does, as you point out, have to be refined and turned into gasoline, the end product. Is there any guarantee the refineries will lower the cost of the final product?
I mean, ultimately, crude prices do feed through into the prices at the pump, but not necessarily straight away and not necessarily in the same proportion that oil prices move. I think this is a clear focus of the Biden administration that although oil is slightly lower than it was a few weeks ago, we haven't seen that feed through to the pumps. And that's the reason that the president wrote to the Federal Trade Commission asking them to look into exactly what's going on in the domestic gasoline market. But if we get sustained lower prices, that will eventually feed through. But, it's worth saying we don't have that right now. We had a couple of bucks on the price of oil yesterday.
The fact that this is coordinated with other countries, does it represent a direct assault on OPEC Plus?
To me, that's probably one of the most interesting parts of the story. I mean, as I said, the amount of oil involved isn't huge, but there's enormous symbolism about these countries getting together. I mean, if you take the U.S., Japan, India, and we think China will make its own move, you've got the world's four largest consumers of oil, and clearly them working in concert will be a matter of interest in OPEC. And I think there's some concern in OPEC that this has happened and it may change the way that they plan to supply the market. But, they are two different, it's worth saying they're very two different things. Consumers only have a stock of reserves. OPEC controls a really important thing, which is the flow of oil into the market.
What is the OPEC Plus response so far? About 30 seconds.
We've talked to a couple of officials. I think they're a bit worried about this. They've got a meeting next week, and I think there'll be a lot of diplomatic talks before that, before they reach a position. It's too early to say, but I think there are some people within OPEC who aren't particularly happy about what's happened this week.
Will, a pleasure. Thanks for being with us this morning. Will Kennedy, Bloomberg News Executive Editor for Commodities. And looking at those commodities this morning, Brent crude, the price there, this is the international benchmark for oil, down 5 cents right now, still above 80 at 82.26 a barrel. NYMEX crude is up 3 cents a barrel, 78.53. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, Dow futures right now down 109, S&P futures down 11 points, and the NASDAQ E-mini futures 31 points lower. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the Bloomberg weather for the tri-state area from Rob Carolyn. Sunny and cool today, high 45 to 50 degrees. Tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day, partly sunny, the high temperature 50 to 55.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour as we watch the price of oil this morning. Right now, Brent is down a tenth percent at $82.21 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate's little changed at 78.44, but traders are weighing the effect of this release of strategic reserves across the world, and now another country is joining the effort. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Japan says it'll release oil from its reserves as part of the global effort to rein in prices. While officials did not give a specific amount, Japanese media says the country will release about 4.2 million barrels. For perspective, Japan uses about 3.3 million barrels a day. Meantime, the U.S. release of 50 million barrels is weighing on prices, and it may make U.S. oil more attractive to Asian consumers than local OPEC crude. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. U.S. futures lower ahead of a slew of economic reports before the Thanksgiving holiday. We're going to get readings on economic growth, durable goods, jobless claims, new home sales, and personal income and spending this morning. Then it's minutes from the Fed's November meeting this afternoon.
Yeah, a couple retailers are getting slammed in early trading ahead of all that, John. Shares of Nordstrom are down more than 26%. The company reported higher labor and fulfillment costs while sales remained below pre-pandemic levels.
And Gap shares down 17%. The San Francisco-based company lowered its forecast as supply chain issues led to lost sales at higher expenses. Let's get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Gap now sees revenue growing about 20% for the full year, down from its previous projection of a 30% gain. The owner of the Old Navy and Banana Republic brands also slashed its profit outlook, citing an estimated $550 to $650 million of lost sales from supply chain constraints on available inventory, as well as approximately $450 million in total air freight expenses for the year. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie. Thank you. On the flip side this morning, shares of Dell and HP are higher. Both posted quarterly revenue that beat estimates. Looks like businesses are spending more on personal computers as they bring employees back to the office. As we say, futures are moving lower this morning. S&P futures are down 13 points now. Dow futures down 126. NASDAQ futures down 46 points. Treasuries on the rise. The 10-year is up 5/32. The yield at 1.64%, and the 2-year is at 0.58. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Nathan. 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr now with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. An 8-year-old boy is the 6th person to die as a result of a man driving his SUV into a suburban Milwaukee Christmas parade. More than 60 others were injured in Waukesha. Daryl Brooks was charged with 5 counts of first-degree intentional homicide. For now, District Attorney Sue Hopper says Brooks will face a 6th later.
He has an arrest record from 3 states, to include Wisconsin, Nevada, and Georgia.
D.A. Sue Hopper says Brooks's next court appearance is in January. A jury in Georgia will deliberate for a second day in the trial of three white men accused of killing Ahmaud Arbery, who was black. The prosecution says that the defendants provoked the fatal confrontation. Defense attorneys insist that their clients acted in self-defense. A jury has ordered 17 white nationalist leaders and organizations to pay $26 million in damages over the violence that erupted during the deadly 2017 Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville. The Connecticut Department of Corrections has seen a recent uptick in COVID-19 infections among staff and inmates. So far, 107 inmates that had COVID-19 and were symptomatic were being housed in the medical isolation unit at the McDougal Walker Correctional Institution. On August 18th, there were just 31. President Joe Biden has included Taiwan on the list of invitees to his democracy summit. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
The president says the goal of the summit is to rally like-minded countries around efforts to fight corruption and authoritarianism and to advance global human rights. The list includes 110 countries, including UK and Japan, and the inclusion of Taiwan is sure to be the most controversial because it's sure to infuriate China. China has assailed nations, companies, and international organizations that treat Taiwan as an independent entity. President Biden has said in the past that China's President Xi Jinping does not feel democracies can survive. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. And it's now 5:36 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stanshower.
All right, John. Knicks have struggled at home this season. Had a win last time out, but even that was a struggle against lowly Houston. Now the Lakers in town. You couldn't ask for a better Knicks start.
Handle spinning on Bradley, going baseline, pull-up jumper. Missed over the rim. Deflects to Noel. Finds Fournier. Turns into a three and buries it. From the right corner in front of the Knicks bench. And a timeout from the Lakers. Not even 2 minutes in. What a start for the Knicks. It's 10-0 here at the Garden.
VPN had the call. Evan Fournier led the Knicks to a 25-point lead that later disappeared. But the Lakers never went ahead and the Knicks prevailed 106-100. Fournier with 26. Russell Westbrook had 31 and a triple-double in defeat. Oh, by the way, the Lakers played without LeBron James, who served the first suspension of his career. Big college game, number one versus number two, and in Las Vegas, easy win for Gonzaga by 20 over UCLA. Closer to home, St. John's trailed winless St. Francis early on, 16-4. Red Storm able to come back and win 76-70. Julian Champagny, 23 points. The college football playoff committee has Georgia again, number one, then Ohio State, then Alabama, and unbeaten Cincinnati has moved into the top four. The Giants' offensive woes and the lack of improvement of quarterback Daniel Jones led Joe Judge to fire his offensive coordinator, Jason Garrett. After missing a month with an injured knee, Zach Wilson will return Sunday as the Jets' starting QB. Steven Matz, the Long Island native ex-Met who pitched last year for Toronto, has signed with St. Louis. Tampa Bay locked up 20-year-old shortstop Wander Franco with a 12-year contract. He's only played 70 games in the majors. John Stashdower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, John, thank you. 5:37 on Wall Street, and time now for the Tri-State Business Report. For that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Ed Khoury.
New York City hotel owners may not get the year-end boost they were hoping for. Real estate company CBRE Group's hotel division expects citywide occupancy to reach about 56% in the fourth quarter, only a slight improvement from the prior period. The Princeton Club of New York, facing foreclosure after defaulting on about $40 million in mortgage debt, may have found a savior in billionaire Eric Schmidt. Sources tell Bloomberg the Princeton grad has been on the club's loan through his family's investment office. Well, the Southern District of New York is one of the most sought-after bankruptcy venues. It will randomly assign its judges to big Chapter 11 cases that are worth at least $100 million. That's regardless of which of its courthouses first got the initial filing. That new rule on mega Chapter 11 cases goes into effect December 1st. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Khoury.
All right, thanks, Ed. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in now with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that Best Buy shares were the worst performer in the S&P 500 yesterday.
I'm Karen Chase, and on WHAS in Louisville, I'll be reporting on exactly how much you can expect to save when the president taps into the national oil reserves.
I'm Caroline Hepcorn, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on Bloomberg's investigation of COVID loans that has found millions went to inactive or brand new companies in the UK rather than struggling businesses.
I'm Steve Potus. And on WFLA Tampa Bay, we're talking about a local juice bar opening at the St. Petersburg site of a once popular bagel shop.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting BrewDog will open a location in the Flats in December.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Joe Biden was right to nominate Jerome Powell for a second term as chair of the Federal Reserve this week. No disrespect to Lael Brainard, who was under consideration as an alternative. The White House says she'll be nominated as vice chair instead. Both are eminently capable and experienced central bankers. But Powell was the correct choice for two reasons. First, appointing a new chief amid this delicate economic transition would have served to call the continuity of policy into question. An unnecessary danger. And second, choosing Brainard, a Democrat, over Powell, a Republican, would have risked politicizing the Fed at a moment when its independence might come into question. Biden deserves credit for recognizing that drawback. At this juncture, signaling continuity and bipartisan competence in monetary policy must be the top priority. Thankfully, Biden chose well. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Editorials can be heard every day at this time. And the Bloomberg weather for today from Ron Carroll is sunny and cool. The high temperature 45 to 50 degrees. Tomorrow for Thanksgiving, expect partly sunny skies. The high temperatures in the mid-50s.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. This update is brought to you by SEI. Since its founding 50 years ago, SEI has provided investment managers and asset owners with robust infrastructure platforms and flexible outsourcing solutions. Go to SEIC.com/IMS. Futures are moving lower on this day before Thanksgiving. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 12 points. Dow futures down 113. NASDAQ futures down 45. European stocks moving lower as well, with the DAX down 0.4% in Germany. The CAC in Paris is down 0.3%. The 10-year Treasury is up 4/32. The yield 1.64%. The yield on the 2-year is 0.59. NYMEX crude down 0.2%, now down 15 cents at $78.36 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $5.80 at $17.92.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1213 against the dollar. British pound 1.3365. The yen is at 115.07. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. And now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Nathan, thank you very much. The holiday travel rush is underway. TSA expects the number of air travelers will reach pre-pandemic highs this week, with more than 2 million people expected to fly today alone. Jury deliberations are set to continue for a second day in the trial of three white men charged with the killing of Ahmaud Arbery in Brunswick, Georgia. The mostly white jury spent about 6 hours deliberating yesterday before adjourning without a verdict. In the NBA, the Knicks beat the Lakers 106-100. LeBron James wasn't on the court, serving a suspension. In the NFL, the New York Giants fired offensive coordinator Jason Garrett. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 5:49 on Wall Street. The World Health Organization says coronavirus cases jumped by 11% in Europe in just the last week. This is the only region in the world where COVID-19 has continued to increase since mid-October. Right now, it's time to get a pandemic update. We're joined by Dr. Stuart Ray, the Vice Chair of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. Doctor, a pleasure to have you this morning. You hear numbers like that, it's got to be really frustrating. It feels like we're, you know, two steps forward and, you know, one step back in the pandemic.
Yes, I think it is a sign that these more highly infectious variants, this Delta variant, is really making it hard to keep a lid on this with vaccines alone, that we really need to be using all the tools we have to get as much normal as we can during these holidays.
Yeah, what concerns do you have as we enter Thanksgiving and the other holidays with the get-togethers and all sorts of gatherings?
Well, we know that people can spread this virus without being sick, and so we need to, you know, assume that there's some percentage of people around us who are infectious, and the percent infectivity or the percent positivity with testing right now is well over 6% nationally, and so we need to think as we move around that we're likely to get exposed, and so if we're wearing a mask, then we're going to get less or not infected, and if we get together, then things like rapid tests can help us make that safer.
Is this still a pandemic of the unvaccinated?
Well, it's a pandemic partly being driven by unvaccinated people because we know that vaccination reduces the time that people remain positive. It reduces the number of secondary infections people they infect. Reduces the complications, and so then the overwhelming effect on hospitals. So it is a pandemic that is being fueled by under-vaccination, but certainly people who are vaccinated can be infected. And so the approach is to try to get vaccination rates as high as possible, but also use other methods to try to limit spread.
Now, in terms of the booster shots, because I get these questions all the time, let me ask you, the expert, can you mix and match vaccines, especially, you know, if you had Pfizer, can you then go to Moderna for the booster shot?
You can, and that's been allowed by the policies that or the guidances that have been passed. So that's allowable, and it's also not a bad idea because each of the three vaccines that we're using in the United States, the Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, and Pfizer, have exactly the same protein sequence. It's just the method of delivery and the dose that varies. So the Moderna dose is a little bit higher. The Pfizer dose is intermediate. Johnson & Johnson uses an adenovirus to deliver that RNA. But there's no reason not to switch from one to the other if what's available is different from what you started with.
Now, with the flu vaccine, is it problematic to get those two at the same time?
It's fine to get them at the same time. The basic guidance is at least an inch apart. So in a different muscle or at least an inch apart in the same muscle. But it's fine to give those, and it's a good idea to get vaccinated for flu because we've had a couple mild, we've had a mild period in the past year, and so the likelihood that we could have a big flu season is there, and we want to make sure that we protect as many people as we can.
Now, in parts of the country, we are seeing outbreaks. Can you give us sort of an update? What are you hearing from the front lines as far as ICUs and hospital capacities?
There are places that are very busy right now, but it's not bad yet. We're certainly, we have 50,000 people in the hospital, which is more than we've had in a month. And so we have rising hospitalization and we have rising case rates. So we can expect that those hospitalizations will continue to rise. So we also know that there have been these outbreaks of flu and that we know how to manage those. I'm hoping that people are more inclined to wear masks now, because they're familiar and at hand, and I think that's a good idea when flu rates are rising, especially if there's a local outbreak. So, local awareness is a good idea, just like when there's fire conditions in the West, in the woods. You know, you don't build a campfire. We need to be thinking about what we do when there's a flu outbreak or the rising rates of COVID.
Doctor, always a pleasure. Thanks for the update. We appreciate it and have a great Thanksgiving. Dr. Stuart Ray, Vice Chair of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. It's 5:54 on Wall Street. Time for our Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Joan Doniger.
closed class action suit against the NCAA by student athletes who say they were sexually abused by a coach while taking part in college sports won't be reinstated. The plaintiffs voluntarily dismissed their appeal. The filing provides no explanation for why. A suit aimed at forcing the Environmental Protection Agency to challenge an operating permit for a BP refinery in Indiana has been filed in federal court in Washington, D.C. And Apple is suing an Israeli spyware maker, the NSO Group, charging the company illegally spies on Apple users.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Joan, thanks. Now another legal story we're following. Republican-led states are pushing back against President Biden's sweeping vaccine mandates, and they're looking for friendly courts that'll maximize their chances of getting those rules tossed out. For more on the matter, Bloomberg Law Health reporter Allie Reed speaks with Tom Keene and Paul Sweeney.
Vaccine hesitancy is a real problem in the country, and it's a real problem in the health industry, too. So there are four different lawsuits right now that are on the table against the healthcare worker vaccine mandate from President Joe Biden, which applies to 17 million employees at facilities that are paid by the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. So at this point, more than half of states are involved in one of these lawsuits, and the suits all build on each other and use a similar strategy. Almost all of them were filed by Republican-led states and conservative-leaning circuits, and two of them were filed by states in the same circuit where the large business vaccine or test rule was blocked, which signals that the states are after the same outcome.
Are you assuming that they'll go through appeals court to the Supreme Court?
Yeah, so it's looking very likely, especially for the large employer rule, but the Medicare agency rule will probably also make its way up to the Supreme Court.
Allie, how big of an issue is this?
It depends on the type of facility, and it depends on which state you're in, of course. It's a real problem for nursing homes and in some of the lower wage industries. And so that's why President Biden is really trying to hammer down on the fact that all medical workers need to be vaccinated to both keep themselves safe but also keep their families safe.
And that's Bloomberg Law Health reporter Allie Reed speaking with Tom Keene and Paul Sweeney. You can catch interviews like that plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law and Bloomberg Surveillance podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal. Just head to the function BLaw. Go. As traders continue to assess the impact of globally coordinated strategic petroleum reserves on the crude market, we are watching oil prices this morning with Brent, the international benchmark, down a third of 1% at the moment, down 30 cents at $82.01 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate's down 0.3% or 22 cents at $78.28. Futures this day before Thanksgiving are falling. S&P futures down 17, Dow futures down 142, NASDAQ futures down almost 75 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 430 seconds right now with the yield just shy of 1.65%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.59. The euro is at 1.1210 against the dollar. Straight ahead, your latest business headlines, all the news you need to start your day on Bloomberg Daybreak.